On radio. On radio. More of the good stuff. CliffCentral.com.
Welcome back to the good stuff. Cliff Central's very own happy hour with myself, Brent Lindekew. The good things, guy. It's, so this morning's been pretty crazy. I've been up since 4 a.m. I did a stint on Gareth Cliff's show, where we spoke about the CEO sleepout and the amazing work that, that they're doing and we're doing and everybody that's involved. Kerry is doing something in the background. We're on Facebook Live, which is what we do at the start of the show to let you know what's coming up. So if you're viewing now, you can also go visit www.cliffcentral.com to tune in with what's going on. So yeah, I was up at 4. I did Gareth Cliff's show. Just 20 minutes with Ben and Mabale, which was pretty cool. And then straight after that, I went into Unbranded with Rianette, where we spent a whole hour talking about me. So I feel like
you've done like a relay.
Oh, okay. I feel like I've sort of outspoken myself today.
Are you tired yet?
I am much, man.
Why can't I hear myself?
No, well, that's because your voice is a little bit funny and we need to turn your headphones up.
Thank you.
It's Tuesday and there's so much going on. I mean, we've got Oscar Pistorius' trial, which went live last week. We've got General Cloudy, which is causing the SABC to almost have a blackout. And then we also have President Zuma, who was told to pay back a little bit of money and South Africa's gone no. I promise you, this is my promise, I'm not going to talk about any of that cuck. It's not what we're about. Kerry, is that what we're about?
No.
That's not what we're about. We're about the good stuff. It's Cliff Central's very own happy hour, and it could be your happy hour as well if you tune in. The weekly show, we come to you every week. We bring you good news, inspirational stories, really kick-ass interviews with cool people that are making a difference. And this week is no different. This week we've got Kerry and myself, which will bring you the high five, the good stories for this week. Mm-hmm. Kerry has been trolling the internet to find them. So we'll bring those to you. We've also got Andy from www.forgood.co.za. It sounds like I'm punting a website, and that's because I am. They're pretty incredible. They're going to tell us how we can help on Mandela Day to get involved, make a difference, change one thing, all of those good things. And then we've also got Jason English for the CEO Sleepout. I'm quite excited because Jay and I've known him for years and years and years and years and years from past life where I used to race cars.
Race cars?
I used to race cars.
Like real cars?
Formula 3.
You lie.
I am, not only am I a radio host on Tuesdays, but I also...
Look at that, hey. I also used many to talents.
Race cars.
Huh.
Say what?
That's can
what
we go driving?
Not so much anymore. Oh. We're not allowed on Carl Army anymore. They've now just become all about Porsche. But maybe on another race.
But
track.
It's okay. I know people.
I know people too. Who knows? This is all about the good stuff. We want you to get involved with the conversation. Please, you can tweet us at cliffcentral.com or myself, Brent Lindekew. You can send WeChat messages. The WeChat screen is right here. Or you can give us a call on 0861-555-189. This is cliffcentral.com, yo. So this is about to make a noise again. Do you remember last time?
Yes.
I ended my Facebook Live, and then it started having me talk in the background. No, we've sorted it out. We're absolutely cool. Kerry?
Yeah?
How's things go? What's going on with your voice?
I don't know. Yesterday, I had so many meetings, and then, my goodness, by last night, I was like, oh, no.
Okay, so my question to you, and it's a relevant one, so don't judge me. But
I never judge anybody.
Were you screaming in the meetings?
No, you know what I think it was as well? I was an album launch on Friday night, and it was a freezing.
Oh, wow.
It was in David Bailey Art Gallery in Norwood.
Okay.
And it's like this through draft. And I'm thinking to myself, I'm like, it's so cold in here. When is this thing going to finish? It was really amazing. But it was cold.
Okay, whoa. Because you had two other things that you went to last week. There was the Cuppa for Cancer and the Pause Are Us, right?
Yes.
What is that?
So Cuppa for Cancer was the week before last.
Mm-hmm.
And that was launching Cuppa for Cancer. So what people usually do is they have tea parties and fundraisers to raise money for the Cancer Association. And they've got this new thing now that instead of having a huge Cuppa for Cancer event, you can actually just buy a cancer, it's a cup, it's a teacup. Some of them come with a spoon, but it's really cute and it's got a little heart and a teacup and everything on it, and that can be your cup of a cancer. It's 50 rand and all proceeds go to Cancer Association.
That's very cool.
And their mobile clinics,
very
which
cool.
We know they go into informal settlements, underprivileged areas, and they test people.
Man, listen, can you keep your voice like this? I'm just sitting here listening to you.
Is it like super sexy?
It's raspy. You remind me of like a Nicole Fox. Maybe.
I know, it must stay like this. Every time this happens, I'm like, please stay, please stay.
even your laugh, raspy, Kerry. Look, the lines
calm yourself.
The lines are going crazy. People are calling in. They want to speak to raspy Kerry.
Hi, welcome to...
Okay, it's not one of those shows.
About the good stuff. And then there's Paws R Us, which is a lot of people don't know that animals get cancer as well. And what usually happens is they detect it too late. But they also, it's the same with people. They also go through treatment.
Okay, so I don't want anybody to hold this, like my word to this, because I don't know if this is 100% true. So... Mm. Let's not judge me or hold this to what I'm saying, but we heard from a friend of ours a couple of years ago that we shouldn't be feeding our animals the cube food, the food that you buy in packets. And I was like, but it's dog food, like they must make. And then my friend said to me, read the back of a bag of like an expensive dog food.
Yes.
And please name one ingredient that you actually know what it is. And I went into the back and I couldn't find anything. And that was about 2 years ago. And since then, we've pre-cooked all of our animals' food.
Yes.
So that they eat. If I wouldn't eat it...
Then why should they?
Correct. So we eat the same. They don't eat it off the table, but they just eat. And yes. I can tell you, it's cheaper.
It is cheaper.
It's cheaper.
Much cheaper.
A lot more work.
Yes.
But it's cheaper. And
but they're your family.
And then, you know, you don't have that thing where they might get cancer.
Exactly. So, it was an educational launch as well. So, people were, they launched the whole thing. And the lady that runs it actually got cancer herself. Do you remember when we were invited to the first one?
Yes.
And they cancelled it.
Yes.
She had to go for her treatments and stuff. So, that's why... It was postponed. So she's doing this for animals now. They're having an event again at the end of July in Four Ways where they're going to be, you can bring your dogs, your animals, your cats, whatever. It's going to be a fun day. And they're going to be raising money for cancer research and stuff. They had two dogs there. It was heartbreaking, actually. And you can adopt dogs.
I love the stuff that you do. You always... You show face for the good stuff, which thank you for that.
Okay, well, we had events on at the same, like, the I was for the team.
I went, we launched the empathy book last week, Thursday, which, oh, wow. So this photographer, Debbie, I'm going to say her surname wrong, so I'm not going to say Yaznik, I think. Incredible photographer, South African photographer. Mm. She spent a whole long time creating this project where she was highlighting homelessness by telling stories. The pictures are amazing of these human beings. It's humans of South Africa.
Yeah.
That's what it is. It's like humans of New York. Humans of South Africa. And their stories are written in the book. It's raw and unedited.
So she goes in and she interviews them.
Like
and she spends time with them.
There was like 150 in the book. The book's actually in the... It's there. It's sitting on the table down there.
That's amazing.
In the lounge. So we'll look at it afterwards because it is... It's quite inspirational. It's quite a wow,
and
wow,
that's
wow.
what she did. She spent time with homeless
when
people.
When you see this book, you might cry. Kerry likes to cry.
I don't like to cry. It just happens.
Raspy Gary. Raspy And then also, I got to do really cool stuff last week where I did three separate talks. The one
all over the place, and your pictures were amazing.
George is amazing.
I know, it's beautiful.
Not George. I'm sure George the person is amazing, but George in fan court. I flew. So we didn't speak about this because we're all about the good stuff. But 2 weeks ago, I flew down to Cape Town, and I nearly died on the plane.
What?
We hit a weird shear wind.
Oh, yeah, it took you 6 hours to get to Cape Town.
7.5 hours to get to Cape Town. So we got to Cape Town. We tried to land. We nearly crashed. There were people screaming on the plane and crying. And there was even a woman praying. the crash sort of, we didn't really crash, but that moment lasted for about 10 minutes where the plane was shaking in every direction. We were lifting off our seats.
that's quite like, that's not funny.
At the time, it wasn't scary. Funny. It was so scary. They tried to land twice. We couldn't land. We had to circle above, you know, and then eventually we flew to George. And we landed in George and then waited an hour and a half and then flew back.
Was that because of the weather?
Because of the weather.
Not the plane.
Flew back to Cape Town, landed. And I was pretty freaked out. Like, it was...
Probably didn't want to get back on the plane.
You know me so well. So in order to get me back to Johannesburg, the flight back to Johannesburg on the Monday, I had to have a bit of tequila before I climbed on the plane because I was just too scared. So that was fine. Getting back
tequila
was cool.
Makes you happy.
It was cool. And then Friday afternoon, by myself, on a plane.
Oh, no.
To George. I was quite afraid, but I survived.
I was quite afraid.
Quite afraid. The flight wasn't actually bad. It wasn't bad. I survived, and it was cool, and I got to George, and then I pulled into George, and I was staying in the fan court because I was speaking at the George Welfare Association. Mm. What an incredible bunch of people.
How were those people? Wasn't it ladies?
499 ladies and me.
Woohoo! How was it?
It was lovely. I got to meet really cool people doing really amazing work in that.
And do they
world.
All come from George?
All from George. Different corporates, different individuals. They all just support the George Welfare Association. And yeah, man, I really got to meet amazing people. I'm going to be going back to George, I think.
I want to go to George.
Come
I've
with me.
I've never been to George.
You and I can go on the good stuff tour.
Yes.
Road trip.
We're going to George. And then you won't be flying by yourself.
Yeah, I know. No, look, I'm okay with flying because I flew back and...
And everything's okay now.
Everything's okay. I'm good with flying again. Just don't give me any of that almost near-death stuff. The other thing I want to talk about, which is hugely controversial in South Africa at the moment, yesterday it was all over your social media. If you didn't see it...
Oh, my actual word. Yeah. I was so angry at the end of it. I'm like, am I supposed to be angry? I know exactly what you're going to say.
Yeah, no, we're on the same path. So yesterday, a couple of pictures went viral of a trailer driving around the northern suburbs of Johannesburg advertising a dogfight between Nitro and Thor. And you
it
had
like something out of EFC.
It was, well, that's they kind of mixed up the EFC advert for the two dogs. And if you went to the website, you could sign up to learn more about the dog fight. If you phoned the number, it went to a voice mailbox and the country was in uproar. Everybody was talking about how crazy it is and how bad it is and how terrible it is. And then the NSPCA, which is the national SPCA, admitted at about 3 o'clock yesterday afternoon that it was their marketing campaign.
How does it make you feel? That's what it said across the thing. It's like, how does it make you feel now?
Okay, but here's my thing. So the whole country is on a fence about how they feel about this. Yes, it made people outraged. Yes, people got involved in the conversation. Yes, nothing else happened because there was no follow through. Mm-hmm. So if you had have hired me, NSPCA, I would have told you, most probably for free and for nothing, that that fake website that you set up should have led you straight to an anti-dog informational website where you could sign up to support the anti-dog
like
fighting
petition.
And the telephone number that they had...
You and your petition.
I've made one this morning. the number that they had on the billboard should have gone straight to a donation hotline. Would have been follow through.
They didn't. Really.
And they
had no strategy at all.
So the country is on the fence, and I'm sure we'll hear what people feel about it later. Cool, you created awareness. Please tell me what you're going to do now, because it better be something amazing. That's all I'm saying.
What was I going to say as well?
I don't know, Rossby. What were you going to say?
one of my friends put up on his Twitter, he said, guys, please, we were waiting for something to actually happen because that's like someone putting up a huge billboard advertising meth cooking glasses. Like, who would do it? Are you joking? Yeah, are you joking?
Like, I'm joking,
are you going to put that up on a sign?
Did you see the billboard? You know what we're talking about. Head over to cliffcentral.com on Twitter or Brent Lindeke or Kerry Stain. Let us know what you feel about this bloody dog fighting. do you agree with the way the NSPCA dealt with it? Or do you feel that it was sort of distasteful? I did a poll on Twitter, which got like 150 people that voted, and it seems 50-50 split. It seems like people are sort of literally on the fence. Yeah. So tell us how you feel. While you're doing that, we're going to stop and just bring you some good news, yo. It is the good stuff, right?
Yes.
Okay, so every week, Kerry and I, we search, we trawl, we hunt, and we find the top five trending good news stories, and we bring them to you so that you can know what to talk about when you're at the dinner table or the water cooler.
Uh-huh. Okay, so my iPad just had a bit of a glitch.
Sorry. Kerry's iPad is a bit raspy like her voice. So we're going to move into... Kerry, are you with us?
Yes, I'm right here.
What do we have at number five?
SABC CEO Jimmy Matthews quits as he believes what is happening with regards to censorship is wrong.
We spoke about this last week, right?
I know, and the reason that I put this up... because
let's unpack this.
Because... we always speak about doing what's right and what's good, and this is right what he's done. But hearing today how everybody is attacking him,
it's pretty
terrible.
Sad.
I'm like, I don't know. Like he did what was right, because obviously he studied journalism, and journalism is like
the truth.
Exactly
the truth. What's pretty. I mean, he's given up his money.
Yeah, he was life.
He was the acting CEO, yeah. Which means that he's taken a big chunk of his salary and he's gone, actually, money is not good enough.
Yeah.
I'm not standing for this. I will stand up for what's right, and this is not right. If you're going to censor South Africa, you're going to do it without me.
And that's the right thing to do.
I agree with you.
And there were apparently a whole lot of journalists that were sending him emails because they're freaking out about what's happening. Because what does that do to their positions and
okay,
their
so
jobs?
Jimmy Matthews, we respect you and we honor you. And I would be privileged if you would join the Good Stuff team, where we can bring relevant news that is also good stuff. We would be honored. You're invited to the good stuff. If you know, I can't pay you what you used to earn, but
I don't usually put things in about politics.
We can show you a good time.
Yes.
And
well done.
Well done. He actually tweeted a letter, which we've got a link to the article, which you guys can go look at. We'll put that up online so you can see it. We don't want to give you all the information because that would suck.
Go read.
Read a little bit. What do we have at number four?
DNA Journey. New video has a beautiful message about diversity that we should all watch.
Did you cry?
You know it. Very proud of their origin, 67 people decided to take a DNA test. But they get the shock of their lives. They've called it the DNA journey.
So if you watch the video, because there's a video attached to this where they've taken this like test or whatever, and they...
It like brings up your family tree in a way, like where you come from.
It's so... The people are quite rude, actually, in the beginning. The one guy's like, I'm English, mate. Like, yeah, screw those
Never
Serbians.
Mind. He was like, you could probably come from the Khoisan family in Africa.
Exactly.
Your grandparents.
Exactly. So all these people have these preconceptions about who they are and their origins and where they come from. And then at the end of the video, they take the DNA test. And the DNA test shows that we're all connected. We all come from different parts
brings
of the world.
Brings them back to life. I mean, brings them down to back to reality.
And then those people, the judges or whatever they want to call them, they go, it's almost like we're all cousins.
Yes.
And the girl goes, yeah, like I totally get it, I'm quite freaked out and I can't believe that I'm part African, part American, part Yugoslavian. And then he goes, in actual fact, out of everybody that took this test, you really do have a cousin here. And then they connect her with her real cousin. It was epic. It is just, it's an incredible video. We're going to post it up online so you can cry like Kerry, because that's how we roll.
I'm sure I'll never get to that stage. I'll never get to a stage where I don't cry, okay? And if I do, then maybe you need to look for a new co-host.
Actually, I'm with you on that. I'm with you on that.
Then that just means that I have no more soul. And no more feelings. And no more heart.
No, we need you with the soul, man.
And I'll go be living in a box somewhere. So, the next one. Celebrities have released an emotional plea against the brutal torture of dogs in China. A whole host of Hollywood celebrities have released an emotional plea against the brutal torture of dogs in China. Oh, my actual word. Did you see that guy? There was a video of a guy literally going in and stealing dogs and running away. They were rescuing the dogs.
Yeah, it was epic. So, I mean, what happened what happens over there is entrenched in who they are.
Yeah.
And it's what they've
they
done for you.
They don't believe that they're doing anything wrong.
Well, it's a festival. I don't even if I can say this is the same. I feel like I'm being controversial, but I'm trying not to. But if you think about a vegetarian,
yes,
I mean, they must look at us like savages.
Yeah.
So it's in the same light.
Mm-hmm.
And there's people that are stopping it.
And these people still don't know what's going on, and they still don't understand. But they steal people's dogs. Because some of the people in China actually have dogs as pets.
No, you see, you can't have double standards.
And they go and they steal other people's. No, those are their pets.
But then if that's your pet, if you have a poodle as a pet, are you eating pit bull for lunch? Like, I need to understand. You can't have double standards.
I don't know. It's just wrong.
Can you research that, maybe?
I'm going to, but that is so bad. I didn't think of it that way.
It's, you know.
I've got my chihuahua, but.
When I was younger, my dad, I don't know why he did this, but he got us a pet pig.
Love pigs.
Yeah, you know, he was amazing. He was supposed to be what they call the Chinese pig when we were younger, and they now call them like teacup pigs,
yes,
or whatever. And he bought.
And then sometimes you get a surprise because they turn into this massive pot belly. That's
well,
like
here's my story. Unpacking as we talk. So he brought home this teacup pot, whatever it was.
A little teacup pig.
Teacup pig.
Yeah.
And
it's so cute.
We called him Hamlet. Mm-hmm. He was absolutely adorable. He was this big, and he was he had black fur, but the fur is hard.
Yeah.
It's like.
It looks nice from far.
It's like gut. It feels like gut.
Horrible.
And he had a mohawk that ran from here all the way down. And we didn't shave him like that. It was natural.
Yeah.
So he was like a ball. And not like boring, but like a ball.
Like a ball.
And he, really he grew.
And he probably didn't stop growing.
And he grew. And he grew. And he grew and he grew and he grew and he grew and he grew. Until he was as big as this table. And when I say this table, I mean your desk that you're sitting at right now.
He probably wanted to eat you.
Never. He was so adorable. I used to lay on his big fat belly in the sun, and he was adorable.
Did
I really,
he live in the house?
No, he lived outside. But
that's a good
the
thing.
Point that I'm making is that when we had Hamlet, and that was a good
you
6 years of my
pork
life.
And ham.
No pork, no ham, no none
bacon.
Of that in the house. Ever.
Yeah, you see. Because then you're eating his family.
So we decided not to.
And now do you eat bacon?
Is Hamlet listening?
No.
Well, then yes.
Okay. No, that's great.
That's great. What
no,
do you
that's, like, that's like eating a meal of meat in front of a vegetarian. It just seems wrong.
We're not going to do that because it's rude. What do you have at number two?
I'm going to get her surname wrong, I think. Nisha, a real-life African hero, has just joined the top 200 young South African alumni. Nisha is a 23-year-old blogger and aspiring philanthropist living in South Africa who just happens to have cerebral palsy.
So Nisha was probably listening because she listens to our show
every week.
And I just want to say, Nisha, that
hey.
We are... Hey, hey, hey! We are so incredibly proud of you and the work that you do for South Africa. You have never, ever, ever let just even a day pass by without being the incredible human you are and continually
and
giving
positive.
Back. Oh, she's so positive, man. She, so online, if you speak to Nisha or if you see her blog or if you follow her, you would never think that she had cerebral palsy.
But this is what I said to you a couple of weeks ago, and you actually brought to my attention. I said that there was this person that follows us every single week, and then you told me the story.
She's absolutely phenomenal, and she's made it her life's work.
And I have a lot of respect for you now, like more than what I did before.
Because
she shared our stories and everything, and now I'm like, yay, there she is.
So she...
And I get sad if I don't hear.
Yeah.
See.
We need to keep sharing the stuff, Nisha, because we love you.
You're amazing.
She's taken it upon and made it her life's work to give back and to give people things that she is not going to have in her life.
Mm.
So currently she's running a smile campaign for the Smile Foundation, where they fix cleft palates and really help kids in need who are underprivileged and don't have the money for that.
Mm.
And she's raising bucket loads of money.
Yes. Good job.
She's amazing. And
we
take our hat off to you.
And thank you for listening to our show.
And we're excited that you're part of the top 200 young South Africans. That's
yes.
flippin' cool. Well
and
done. Congratulations. We're going to post that story online so that you can pick up and follow her blog and really get to know her, because she's a phenomenal human being. What do we have at number one?
I'm probably going to get this name wrong as well. Is it Chauncey's Chance?
Do it. I want to hear you get it wrong.
Chauncey's Chance. Is that how you say it?
Well, his name is Chauncey.
No, but I'm sure you say Chauncey. C.
Chauncey.
Chauncey. A chance encounter gives the hungry teen new life in random acts of kindness. So a 16-year-old asked a stranger at a Kroger grocery store to buy him and his mother some food in exchange for carrying the man's groceries to his car. The random act of kindness will tug at your heartstrings. Did I cry?
You almost did. No, not now.
I did yesterday.
Oh, you must probably have watched the video. So, how crazy, right? In South Africa, we see this all the time, where people carrying our groceries and do stuff. In America, it's not so much. They don't do that. It's not part of what they do. But this kid was like, please, I'll carry your groceries if you can just help me. My mom's disabled. I need to give her some food. We need food. I'm starving. And this guy gave him money, then recorded a little video. Mm-hmm. Did a GoFundMe page. I'd actually be very interested to see where the
what it
is now. Because
it was $300,000.
Do you know how much that is in rand?
That is massive.
It's like 5 million rand. This kid, they managed in the space of like 24 hours. I'm not going to say I hate, but it annoys me how Americans are able to do this. They rally together just to make really big money.
Yeah, and then it just grows.
It's sitting on $300,000, which is 5 million rand that they've raised for this kid and his mom. It's going to change that kid's life.
There's like 9,000 shares.
Good grief.
9,600.
That's amazing. But it's really cool. I love random acts of kindness. I love seeing good news. I love good news stories. That's what we're about, right?
Do more. Yeah, people must do more.
And that's what we ask for. Yes. So, Kerry gets to read through 20 stories a week at least. How many do you go through?
No, there's more than 20.
We do like and 20 a day. Like,
there's different categories. There's people, there's fun, there's entertainment, there's like politics. I have to go through all of these things.
Positive. Did you say politics?
Politics.
That's a no, we need to call it politics.
No, but I'm saying like people. So, if it's politics, politics.
Politics, positive politics.
And you would have been like, what's going on with your pronunciation there with your raspy voice? People wouldn't have understood. So you say it.
I'll say politics. So I'm introducing something new that we're going to bring every week at about 1:30. We're not about music on The Good Stuff, but there's always good stuff happening. And we posted a video a couple of weeks ago where Pharrell Williams went into a... it was like a school that he went into, and there were 6 or 7 people that were all part of this music school that were producing music and doing all sorts of stuff, and he listened to them and he critiqued them. He was like, no, your bass is wrong, and you need to put a clap in here, and your chorus is terrible. And the one girl who he listened to, her name is Maggie Rogers, she sat next to him, and the conversation that they had was so fluid. When they were talking, it was just so easy. It was really just quite spectacular. And then she played her song, and she sort of just sat there bouncing to her song, and Pharrell gave like a double take. He kept on looking at her like, am I being punked? Like, her music is epic. And at the end of the song, he asked her a couple of questions about sort of where she'd grown up, and she's got this amazing story that she was abandoned and she traveled for a bit, and she was always into folk music, but then she somehow found house, and it was really an incredible story. And he said to her, that song is perfect. It's perfection.
I loved when you bring all this new stuff.
It's perfection. And she then, she'd never been on the internet. She became a viral sensation thanks to her little interview and her time spent with Pharrell Williams. Her song's been downloaded over 50 million times, from what I understand.
50 million?
It's just, it's insane.
Okay, and so when you go over 1 million, YouTube pays you what? Is it 50 cents?
No, well, now she's on iTunes.
Yeah, because I think it's like 50 cents or $1.
And I want you to hear the song, because this is my song, and we're going to be bringing you terrific tunes every week. This is The Good Stuff on Cliff Central.
Choice. Sometimes you have it, and sometimes you don't. AutoTrader gives you the choice. Now you can shop, compare, and buy new cars. Watch our expert video reviews and research before you buy. Auto Trader New Car. The choice is yours.
Welcome back to The Good Stuff. I'm busy getting sidetracked. I don't know what's going on here. That song just blew me away. Mm. It is quite spectacular. She's quite talented. She's quite young. Anyway, every week we've got really incredible interviews that we do because we're all about the good stuff and sharing the good stuff and bringing you really cool stories. And this week is no different. We have been punting this a lot. It's not because it's terrible. It's because we want you guys to get involved, and it's really important. Cliff Central is spearheading the CEO Sleepout, Sympathy Sleepout, which is happening across South Africa, all over the place. And this week is no different. We're going to be interviewing someone who's gotten involved with the CEO Sleepout. His name is Jason English. He's the CEO of ProMac. And actually, I touched on it a little while ago. I've known him for years and years and years and years and years. We used to race together, and when I say race together, he used to win.
Well, you used to race, but probably you never won anything, Brent.
How's it going?
No, fantastic, fantastic. Great to be on the show, and really excited.
It's cool to have you here. And
Another racer.
Kerry's quite excited. little raspy Kerry. I touched on it. We've known each other for many, many years. I never knew that you actually owned a company because we didn't really talk about work. What the hell is ProMac?
Yeah, so look, I guess ProMac, it's part of a company called the CG Energy Group, and it's an established contractor that provides a range of structural, mechanical, electrical instrumentation and piping solutions to a variety of industrial processing plants. So, you know, the big chemicals, oil and gas, mining, power and energy. We've got an incredible team. We've built a reputation that around sound delivery of project solutions to clients, and our employees collectively have worked globally in more than 20 countries.
You were just saying, because I remember that you used to live exclusively in Secunda and you used to drive up to come and race on the weekends and stuff. You're now all over the place.
Yeah, so look, I mean, we've grown quite nicely. It's been a good little story. We've opened up in the Middle East, and we've got quite a few projects out in Africa, and we've expanded largely across the entire South Africa. So I think it's been a nice little journey for us, and it's definitely come a long way since the days of racing cars.
For real.
And he keeps referring to it as little.
Yeah, no.
Yeah, well, I mean, look, you know, we're still probably baby when we compare to our competitors who are big, large listed organizations. But, I think we're quite competitive and, we're doing
not
a good
so
job.
And this year you've joined onto this. Were you part of the CEO Sleepout last year?
That's correct, yes.
Okay, so you were part of it as last year as well?
Yeah,
I'm excited to chat about that.
I was probably
that
one of the youngest guys there, I think.
What does it mean for your company to be part of the CEO Sleepout?
So, look, I mean, I think it's always an awesome experience. For me personally, to be part of any initiatives that support the needy, I believe there's sort of three factors that makes one complete as an individual: wealth, freedom, and meaning. And I guess for me personally, I fill my meaning box through initiatives like these. And as for ProMac, we're constantly striving to support underprivileged and local communities where we operate. And this year is particularly exciting because the focus is on education. So I said this in the previous radio interviews, I believe people also need three factors to be employable. You'll notice I live my life in triangles. One is some form of education, two is ambition or drive, and three is the willingness to learn from others. The last two are up to the individual, but education costs money, which not everybody has. And by doing this initiative, I guess we're doing our small part for creating a better South Africa. I also have around 50 staff that will be sleeping on the roof of our offices to support me. So this will be a very meaningful experience for me this year, I think.
Wow.
So that's the thing that we're spearheading at Cliff Central, is the Sympathy Sleepout. And a lot of people are like, oh, what the hell is Sympathy Sleepout? I'm not quite understanding, but you've just hit the nail on the head. So you're going out to the bridge, and you're going to be sleeping on the bridge, and your staff are all going to be sleeping out at your offices.
Yeah, so I mean, look, it's quite ironic because we're actually opening our new head office in this month in July, and so it's going to be quite an awesome event, I think, on the roof of our new building.
Very cool. Where is that new building?
That'll be based out in Secunda.
Very cool. And it's almost like your staff, I mean, I hate this word, but it's a team building because they're all going to be there that night together, supporting the cause, supporting as a company. It is very cool. You said you did this last year. What advice do you have for the guys that are doing it this year?
So look, I think last year they probably got it slightly wrong. I don't think we hit the coldest night, even though it was pretty cold. I think this year they've probably hit the nail on the head. So it's going to be super cold.
Last year was freezing.
It's going to be super cold this year. You know, my advice is dress warm, be open-minded about the evening. There was a lot of criticism last year with regards to how the event was dressed in glamour, etc. But, you know, I guess that was at the beginning of the night. And when the fun sort of dies down, I think that the perception sort of changed. You know, there's no amount of clothing that'll make comfort of a cold floor, or an ice block rather. I think that this year will be super special because of the inclusion of the scholars and the students. And I think that we as CEOs have a unique opportunity this year to interact with those scholars and students and just understand from the youth of our country about the challenges that they see, the possible solutions that they have to some of the issues, and just, you know, a whole night to discuss these amongst each other. I think it's going to be the most powerful experience come the 28th of July.
So there's two things that I want to touch on there. The first being, I've managed to speak to a lot of CEOs in the last couple of weeks, and one of the biggest things that has come out is that you don't actually sleep on the night. Did you sleep on the night?
Look, so you try and sleep. Yeah. and I guess that was really the reality. It's not something that you know, you don't have a comfortable bed. So yes, even though it was this awesome event, I think when you try to lie down on a hard surface, there's no comfort in it. So I managed to probably get about an hour and a half. It was pretty lucky, I guess. But I actually stole one of the benches, so I was probably slightly better off.
A thief. Which is, you know,
that's how they do it.
We don't judge, yeah. We don't judge.
That's how you do it on the streets.
The other thing that I wanted to touch on has completely gone over my head. No, it hasn't. So, the whole point of the sleep out, and it was a lot of criticism that came after the sleep out last year, is that it's not building this homelessness, and CEOs are not really experiencing homelessness because it's glamorous and. And I just, to iron that out, I need to explain, it's the first year that I've been a part of it, and the biggest thing that I think people don't understand is that the sleep out was born from a CEO who was sick of going to gala dinners and sponsoring money. Because that's what normally happens. Yeah. Come to a gala dinner, sit, eat a cool meal, and then hand over your money and walk away. Which would be all fair and dandy. But he decided, because his kids were doing all these sleep outs in the Australian schools, that he would do a sleep out, and it spread like wildfire around the world where everybody was doing it. So I think for all of our listeners that might think, oh, these CEOs are so glamorous, they're not doing it to copy homelessness. Mm-mm. It's just to be different in order to raise money. And if you look at it, last year they raised, you were part of that, over 26 million rand. Hard cash.
Yeah, the biggest fundraising event ever achieved in South Africa.
And I heard from Sun International that over 38 million rand was raised via empathy. So people that were just supporting and awareness and everything that came from that. It was massive. So this year they're aiming for 40 million hard cash. And obviously all the awareness that comes around it with the sympathy sleep outs and the school sleep outs will be much bigger than that.
Huge.
In your own mind, do you believe that the CEO sleep out can change perceptions in South Africa?
So look, you know, I guess there's no doubt that it can change the way you think. But in order to change perceptions in anything, one really needs to live that experience. And that's why I'm pretty proud that my incredible team of employees will be sleeping out on the rooftop with me. Having said that, I can't really understand what it's like to be a homeless person. I don't think any of us could until you're really in that situation. Mm. But based on my experience last year, I can certainly empathize with a homeless person. And again, you know, this was something that I commented on previously. But I always used to drive past a homeless person and ask myself why they don't get a life, go out there and get a job, stop being a beggar. And I guess I was pretty naive to what was really going on in their own brains. And, you know, through the CEO sleep out and sleeping on the floor, etc., it was really in that moment that I had a little bit of a eureka moment. Because it was at that point that I understood how once you become a homeless guy, it's almost impossible to get out of it. And the reason behind that is, you know, people get employed through interviews.
Yeah.
And in order to become in order to pitch up at an interview, there's certain things you need to do. So I kind of painted this picture in my head, you know, if I was a homeless guy, what would it be like? And I was like, okay, so I slept on a hard block of ice last night and I got limited sleep. I didn't have a place to shower or bath. I had to keep one eye open when I was sleeping in the felt because now I didn't know if I was going to get robbed or mugged or killed. I don't have a place to store my bag and my blankets or any personal belongings. And I mean, I guess at the end of that, I don't have a phone, I don't have a car. Now I've got to go for some sort of interview. Actually, I'm doomed.
Yeah.
And I think that was the hard-hitting point for me, and that sort of changed the way that I looked at homeless people every time I went past them again.
It does. It changes perceptions. One of the things that all the CEOs have said, and it reiterates, is that it's what happens after the night. So when you get back to your companies and you're telling your stories and you're taking whatever you've learned during this experience and you're feeding it into your own communities, that's when the real change happens. It's after the night.
Correct, absolutely. Because I mean, then you've had the, you know, you've, as I said earlier, you've overcome the fun and the glamour and the glory, and you've actually now had to sit down and the lights go out and it's quiet and there's no more music and there's no more anything. It's just you, a couple of bonfires, and you know, a lot of thought.
Yep.
So no, it definitely changes the way you think.
I'm excited to be part of the CEO Sleep Out. If you guys want to register, it's pretty simple: www.theceosleepoutza.co.za. I've been doing this quite often. I can say it in my sleep. If you have one thing to say to the corporates out there that are sort of thinking about should they get involved or shouldn't they, what would you say?
So look, I think, you know, we're having a pretty rough time in South Africa at the moment. Politically, we've got our own challenges. The Rand's being hit for six through macro issues that are beyond our sort of control. And I think I'd like to do two things. So to the employees of companies, you know, your CEOs have the power to influence by coming together in unity. I think that this Sleep Out will give them an opportunity, and I urge you to push them towards this good cause. And then I think to corporate South Africa, you know, you'll not often find a platform where you can talk to youth and masses like we will be able to in this specific day, and ultimately participate in South Africa's biggest CEO debate. Ultimately, but it will also give you an opportunity to think about your business strategies whilst at the same time really understanding the homeless plight. And so yeah, get involved. It's 28 July and it's going to be an exciting night.
I'm excited because it's and I can actually feed off your passion. It's like-minded people that actually want to help SA rise, which is quite exciting. It's been amazing having you on the show. It's good to see you. I'm going to kick you out of the studio now because we're going to put Andy in, and then you and I will catch up.
Before you go.
Oh wait, we had one more special request.
I forgot my mother's birthday yesterday. And that's like a sin. I've just had so much going on recently. So Mom, big happy birthday. Love you lots. Thanks for being an awesome mom and a great grandmother. And I hope you had a great day yesterday.
We love you, Mom. We love you, Mom. This is the good stuff.
Sober, felt 10 years older, but it was something to do. I'm living out in L.A. I drive a sports car just to prove I'm a real big baller, cause I made $1 million and I spend it on girls and shoes. But you don't wanna be high like me, never really knowing why like me. You don't ever wanna step off that roller coaster and be all alone. The bus like this, never know who to trust like this. You don't wanna be stuck up on that stage singing, stuck up on that stage singing. Oh, I know a sad soul.
I don't know why I played that, but you can sing, yeah?
It's very sad. Yes, and it's the original one. It's very sad.
And the other one is like this club hopping, I took a pill in Ibiza, yo.
No. And then he actually sings it. It's about depression. Really. Who already
blew his shot? Wow, okay. So that's Mike Posner. He was something at some stage, and now he's a little bit sad. We hope that he feels better after writing. We appreciate your song. Thank you, Mike Posner. All right, back to the good stuff. No sad songs. We're all about incredible interviews, and we've interviewed Andy before, but we were just talking during that very sad song about how it's progressed. www.forgood.co.za is, I mean, one of the most epic things in South Africa, I believe. It's like a dating site for charities, and it literally matches either goods, money, or
so goods,
time.
Skills.
Time.
Yeah.
Time.
That's kind of what we
Andy,
focus on.
How you doing?
It's good to be back, Brett.
Welcome back to the good stuff.
Thanks,
it's great to have you here.
You have lovely ladies now. I think there was only one last time.
There was one, but our other lovely lady is an intern.
She's
shadowing
she's
today.
She's still at school.
She's still at school. We're going to put on air in a little bit. We're going to make her sing.
I reckon we should make her volunteer live.
I think maybe she should volunteer live. I think that's what's going to happen. She's like, what the hell are you getting
what
me into?
Happened?
Don't you do life orientation? And I think you have to put volunteer hours in for LO. We never did LO.
No, we didn't have that at
Winnipeg. We were too old for that. It was like woodworking.
Also, our schools were not that great. I've done a couple of talks at schools recently, and do you know that schools now have auditoriums? It looks like a cinema.
Yeah.
When I was at school, you used to sit on the cold floor in the hall.
Yes.
While in your little
overhead projector.
With an overhead projector. Now they've got like digital screens and LEDs and anyway, we're getting off point. So For Good is an incredible website. I am a big advocate for them because I believe what they really do is make giving back really easy. You've done a couple of cool campaigns that we might have time to touch on. I support you guys. You're all over my website. I keep you there because I believe in the good stuff that you're doing. But what has happened since you were last in studio? Tell us a little bit more about forgood.co.za.
Yeah, so there's been a couple of things. I think, like, you know, I don't want to be a boastful guy, but I think we might be the biggest volunteer matching service in the country by now. I don't know of many others, but we are now, so when we first chatted, that would have been just after we relaunched the platform, January last year. So we're about, what, a year and a half about past that. So we're placing almost 80 volunteers a week now.
Wow.
Which is pretty cool.
That's a lot.
So that's connections between people who want to give back and causes who have some kind of very specific need. The counter on the homepage is around 2,500 connections. That's actually around 3,500 because there's one particular one we aren't counting yet. So it's been a bit of a rocket ship. And then kind of the big thing behind it that we chatted about previously was this idea to try and unlock, it's a really douchey corporate word, but human capital, and try and scale this thing by, instead of, you know, buying these people via advertising, by rolling this out inside corporates across South Africa. And so I suppose the really, really good news is that we now have 6 corporates who are running this platform, all fairly early stage, and I don't have permission to say who they are, but I can say we're well represented in telecommunications, hotel, retail, insurance.
This is like a good game of charades. 30 seconds. There we go. That's incredibly impressive. And you can be boastful because it's not you boasting about anything other than good news. And it's people that are doing good and being effective, active citizens. What is the best way for South Africans to become active citizens? Action the change.
Well, I think it's just to get started, and that's why I love that metaphor of online dating for the social sector, because it really is hard. And we chatted about this previously, is that there are a lot of people here that want to give back in some way, but they just don't know where to start. They don't know how. They don't know where to start. And so this is this idea of coming on, and I mean, we now have active at this point in time over 900 different opportunities that have been loaded by causes, so they're relevant. And that excludes that cool offer feature we have where you can write down anything that you're passionate about and we match it out to causes in your area. And so I think what we've succeeded in doing so far is just becoming this channel where anyone, so South African citizens, corporates, people inside corporates, companies, other nonprofits can find an easy way to get connected around the social giving space.
That's something that I've learned in this chapter or experience that I've been on, is that people inherently want to do good, but it's just that step. It's the step that they're missing. And For Good is doing that. You guys are giving South Africans the step to be able to give back and do good.
And a lot of corporates as well are blind spending.
Yeah.
And they don't know where their money's going.
Yeah. Correct. And they're missing out on all the skills.
And that's great.
So there's a
cool exercise I like doing, and I do this with all the pitches to corporates, is just looking like on the site live at the last 10 offers that got created. Okay, because the kind of stuff that comes through there is just amazing. So the last 10 offers that got created, and this is all, they're about, 3 to 5 offers a day at the moment. So one person is volunteering skills as a transport administrator. I mean, how whack is that? And how useful could it be if you have a charity that is involved in transporting food, collecting food, transporting people, getting kids to school, etc., etc.? Here's a doozy, an electrical engineering specializing in heavy current.
Wow.
You have to dig in, and it's quite nice. He goes, I'm an electrical engineer. I'm warm, humble, and soft-spoken. I love honesty and people and dedication. I'm also a huge football fan, and I want to volunteer my engineering experience.
Man, that's cool.
And then it goes on. So human resources services, food, software and website development, old women and old men's clothing, administrative services, business management, motivational speaking, filmmaking, a stove.
So cool. And that's real people posting real stuff live, like in the last whatever. That's the last 10 causes that were posted, which is unreal. What sort of trends do you see on the website? What sort of stuff do you see happening that's, in the past year and a half?
Yes, I need to keep remembering to get our domain in there. So forgood.co.za. Hopefully all your listeners are going
there. Sorry, what was that?
That was forgood.co.za. We're good at this. We did it last time. So some of the trends have actually been really, really interesting. And there were a couple that we did not expect at all. So the first one is that people offer their time about 400% more than they offer goods donations. So 4 times more. That's a lot. Here's the real doozy, is that causes request goods about 400% more than they request time. So there's a complete mismatch about where the social sector is now in terms of, well, just give us money, give us goods, we'll do with it what we can. And what active citizens want is they actually want to be involved. And there's some very, very good reasons for it. I mean, tough economic times means donating goods is hard.
Yeah.
There's not a huge amount of trust when you just kind of dip your toe into the social sector.
Yeah.
People like to build up relationships with charities. And then on the other side, charities are slowly waking up, and we are seeing the behavior change, but they're slowly waking up to how to manage volunteers. Because volunteers aren't always the easiest.
Yeah.
They're kind of love them and leave them, hump and dump kind of things if you don't really control it.
Exactly.
And there's nothing worse than someone rocking up and then just leaving.
Yeah.
I've worked with charities before as well. And if you go to orphanages, a prime example, the little kids are so excited to see you because, wow, new face, new friends, let's play. The older kids are just like, I can't.
Yeah.
I can't form a relationship with you, and then you walk away. I just can't do it.
Yeah, and you keep walking away. And there's a lot of training on both sides of that equation to get people to realize that, happened the other day. Someone wanted to donate goods, and they had a team, and they went to all this effort and some amazing goods. And then they got out, and they didn't understand when the cause didn't want to let them directly to go see these orphans. It was orphans. And that they wanted to sort through the goods. And, you know, I think people start to understand that this isn't as easy a sector as they thought. You know, goods quality is usually terrible. That's why a cause has to sort. Orphans have been abandoned once, and you're going to abandon them again when you come there for 3 hours.
Exactly.
So there's a really nice...
And they also
nice
don't understand the point, like, you can't be taking photos of them either.
Yeah, there's all those legal issues.
Okay, so, I mean, time is always of the essence. I need to know, Mandela Day, what do we do?
Okay, so, you know, this was so successful last year, is I really want to do something on Mandela Day, but I don't have a freaking clue what to do and where to start. So that's what we are. We're that channel. So if you go to the homepage at forgood.co.za right now, you'll see a big Mandela Day campaign. Click on that, and we're basically curating causes that want to work with people on Mandela Day, because not all causes do. Not all causes want 1,000 people rocking up and asking to pack sandwiches.
Yeah.
But there are very specific projects which our causes are starting to capture, which you can do. So I think that is just the easiest way. Just take that first step. Get you or your company or your friends involved.
It's that simple. We want you to visit www.forgood.co.za. Do you have any social media channels that people might follow?
Yep, all over it. Forgood SA on Twitter and Forgood SA on the Book of Face.
The Book of Face. It's been incredible having you in the studio again.
Thanks, man.
I'm going to push all of those things online so that people can get hold of you. And sort of, I always, whenever you send me stuff, I post it out there because I think it's so important. I love what you guys are doing. It is really, you're phenomenal, and you're making big differences in South Africa, and easy for South Africans to get involved.
Thanks, Brent. Thanks, guys.
Absolutely amazing. This is the good stuff. I can't believe we've actually almost run out of time. It's like an hour just disappeared. Sad. This is the third hour I've been on radio now because I've been on this morning. I'm a little bit tired of hearing my own voice. We're not going to give you any airtime. I'm bringing you back, our little intern. I want to say
2 weeks of holiday. She's definitely coming back.
You're coming back next week. You've tuned into the good stuff on Cliff Central. If you want to catch up with any of the other podcasts, please go to cliffcentral.com to download them all. Also, goodthingsguy.com. We put everything up on there. I need to say this. We need to stay motivated. We need to inspire others. We're in this together, and the only way we'll get through this together. This whole show, everything I live for, everything I do today, my heart, my soul is all for Megan Skews. I absolutely love you. She works for me, and she's going through a bit of a tough time. So I hope you were listening, and I hope we inspired you a little bit. I'm going to leave you with this. Live beneath your means. Return everything you borrow. Stop blaming other people. Admit it when you have made a mistake. Give clothes not worn in 3 years to charity. Do something nice and try not to get caught. Listen more, talk less. Every day, take a 30-minute walk. Be kind to people. Be kind to unkind people. Reread your favorite book. Be humble. Realize and accept that life isn't fair. Know when to keep your mouth shut. Go an entire day without criticizing anyone. Learn from your past. Plan for the future. Live in the present. Don't sweat the small stuff. Absolutely everything is the small stuff. That is the good stuff on Cliff Central. Have a terrific Tuesday.
This is CliffCentral.com.